That was great. Thank you so much. Hey, it's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for your invitation. I've been to Crofton Baptist Church kind of many times in different ways, but I've never had the opportunity to come and preach. So after kind of 11 years in Orpington, it's really great to have graduated. Thank you so much for your invitation today, and I hope it's not the last. It's really good to be here, to worship with you, to learn from you, to see old friends and to meet new. It's especially good, might I say, to stand with my friend Adrian, your minister. What a great minister you have here at Crofton. You know, I thought to myself as I drove up here this morning, if I wasn't in ministry in Orpington, I'd be sat under the ministry of Adrian Judd. Greetings from Orpington Baptist Church as well. The churches, as many of you know, have a historic link together, and warmest Christian greetings from Orpington Baptist Church. Someone once said that humans are very able creatures. They've made 32,647,389 laws and more all the time, but they haven't yet improved on the Ten Commandments. And in our society today, we are confronted with an awful rising crime, particularly violent crime on our streets, not least in our own capital city. A surge in family breakdown that affects so many families. A tidal wave of immorality and of immoral sexual behaviour, and a cataclysmic loss of personal identity and purpose. And so to our culture and our society today, God speaks what he once spoke in his law and in his Ten Commandments. His law still so relevant and contemporary for us today, don't you think? Do you know, as the sun, our sun, lies at the center of the solar system and the planets, this is my idea of the planets kind of orbiting around the sun, so all the other commandments, all the other teaching of the law revolve around this first commandment, because it puts God at the center. God declares who he is from the very outset. He says, "I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." And so here's the first thing I want you especially to notice. He's the God who reveals himself to us. In the opening line of God's top ten, God states that he is the Lord. In Hebrew, Lord is Yahweh. He is the God of the universe. He is the Holy Almighty One. And he allows himself to be found by us because he reveals himself to us. He is the great I Am. He speaks to us His truth. He helps us come to know Him personally. He shows Himself to us. Though He is a holy, transcendent God, He shows Himself to us as He reveals Himself for us. He gives us His perfect guidance for life in His teaching and in the law. He's the Lord who commands. You remember the classic film, The Wizard of Oz, you know, follow the yellow brick road, something like that. Dorothy and her friends follow the yellow brick road and eventually come to the Emerald City to see the great Wizard of Oz, and they get ushered into the throne room for them to meet him, and they hear this great booming voice and they see the lights flashing. But then Toto the dog pulls back the curtain and reveals this little old man who's really just pretending. The whole thing is a bit of a sham, a bit of a fraud. And in vivid, vivid contrast, the God of the Bible isn't like that. You pull back the curtain of his throne room, as God did perfectly for us in his Son Jesus Christ, when the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and you see him to be the Lord of all the universe, the Holy, Holy, Holy One. And he declares, I am the Lord your God. You with me on this? Sometimes people say, and they said to me in the past, well, I just don't believe in God. People will say that to you, I'm sure. And I always want to ask them what kind of God they don't believe in. Because sometimes I don't believe in that God either. We believe in the God who reveals himself to us as the one and only true God. And you know, I find that so often even Christians can have a warped view, an inadequate view of who God is. We need more than anything else, and that's what this series, I think, that you're running just now is about. We need more than anything else to recognize who God is. To allow God to be God. Let God be God in our lives. Over this church. Let God be God who he is, Yahweh, the Lord of all. But no one else, he says before him. Pulls back the curtain and you see who he is. Today I encourage you and myself as well to proclaim over your life, over your home, over your family, over your workplace, over your children, who God is. Speak his lordship over your lives. Make it personal. Say, he is the Lord my God. Let him be at the center of it all. Let everything else revolve around this. Around him. He is the Lord our God. I am, he says, the great I am. So here's the first thing. He He's the God who reveals himself to us through the law. He's the God who shows himself to us perfectly in Jesus Christ. And he calls us to put him at the center. Our son at the center. And here's the second thing I want you especially to notice about this first command and this teaching of the law. The second thing is this, that he's the God who wants the priority. It's always a matter of priorities, isn't it? You know, what we make a priority in this day or the next, what piece of work, what thing takes the priority. If you ask others what their priorities are in their lives, they might respond, well, my family is my first priority. They might say their relationships with other people. Some people might say their work is their priority. Or sometimes people even say, well, it's me. I'm my priority. The very first commandment calls us to put him first. To make God your priority. Your first priority. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. When I first became a Christian, and I became a Christian from a very non-Christian background, I first became a Christian through a live link with a Billy Graham crusade that a friend of mine had taken me to. And we were living then in Poole in Dorset, which is my hometown. And when I became a Christian, very quickly actually, we were sent out on the streets to witness to people in the high street. And we were sent out onto the streets with a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. Some of you may have come across it. I think it's been redone since then, because we're talking a few years ago now. And it's called Knowing God Personally. And at the climax of this little booklet, I remember it had two circles representing, it said, two kinds of lions. And one circle has self on the throne, an S on the throne, with your ambitions and interests and concerns dominated by the S, by yourself. And the other had Christ on the throne with a cross representing the Lord Jesus. And we asked people in the high street, many different people actually, we asked people, who's on the throne of your life? Who would you say? Which circle represents you? And who would you like to be on the throne of your life? It's a good question, still for us today, still for you at Crofton Baptist Church, and still for me, who's on the throne of your life? The language of the Ten Commandments, interestingly, reflects the kind of language of ancient treaties that were made between kings and their people. Same kind of language. And God declares through his law that he's king over all humanity. That he's king over our lives. That he's king over the nations. That he's king over history. And things go wrong in life. And things go wrong in the world. And things go wrong in our society when we rebel against his kingship, when we deny it, when we reject it, when we put ourselves first instead of him. Things go badly wrong then. People often think that idols, the kind of idols that I talked about here belong to the past. You know, idols of wood and stone and brass. But let me tell you that they have nothing on the idols of the 21st century. The idols of pride. The idols of materialism, money. The idols of celebrities. And I think most damaging of all, the idols of the unholy trinity, sometimes it's called, the I, me, my idol. He's the God who wants the priority in our lives. The first commandment calls us to make of the Lord our top priority. There'll be other priorities, of course. But for him to shape everything else. Many of us would want to say, I would want to say that my family is a real priority in my life, but don't put your family above the Lord. Let him be the priority over your family, over your home, and over your life. And then your family and your home and your life will be blessed as a result of it. To put Jesus, as Christians, to put Jesus on the throne of our lives. To dethrone anything or anyone else that would usurp his rightful place. And to be honest, this isn't something you just do once, you know, when you become a Christian. This is something for us Christians here who need to do it again and again, day by day, that our choices that we make, that our lifestyle that we live, the attitudes of our minds towards one another and to other things in our world are subjected to his reign. Over your life and mine, no other gods before me, says the Lord. He's a holy God, and this is a challenging word as a result of it. No other gods before me, says the Lord. He's the God who reveals himself to us. He speaks to us through his law. He's the God who sets our priorities in life. And he's the God. He's the God who sets us free. In thinking about God as lawgiver, the Lord who gives his law, in thinking about God as the one who commands, you might kind of be tempted to imagine a God who kind of wraps you up with rules and regulations, a kind of legalistic God. Sometimes Christians have given that image of God, haven't they, to other people, both through history and in our own age. They've given a picture of God that kind of delights in rules and regulations and legalism. And whether you think this is controversial or not, I believe that this is spirit inspired. I think that image of God is wrong. Actually, he's the God who delights to set us free. He sets us free to be the people that we can be. And that's why he gives us the law. He sets us free to be the person whom he has created in his image and likeness. He's the God who redeems, who rescues, who delivers. He's the God who sets people free today. And if you're in any doubt about this, you don't need to turn to the New Testament. You can read it right here in the very first commandment that he gives. And he reminds them, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He's the God who has rescued them from enslavement. And he wanted to remind them that he is their redeemer. And of course, as Christians, we can have a far, far greater privilege than they ever knew. We can know, they knew that God had set them free from slavery in Egypt. We can know that Jesus, our Redeemer, sets us free from sin and death and hell. He sets us free. Many years ago, I heard a wonderful sermon by a great evangelical minister, now long gone to glory. Some of you know David Watson. And this sermon, he called it, What's Your Egypt? Question mark. What's Your Egypt? And it made a deep impression upon me as a young Christian at the time. For one and another of us, our Egypt is shaped in very different ways. No longer a place. It's an Egypt that has taken hold of us in a sin that we keep on going back to over and again. Or a spirit of bitterness that we have towards someone else that we can't break free from. It's our Egypt. Our Egypt can be an insecurity in your life. I think for many years, to be honest, it was mine. My parents had divorced when I was a teenager. It's part of what helped me turn to Christ, actually. And I'd been abused as a young man. And it filled me with a sense of insecurity and fear. And when I heard David Watson speaking about this, I knew exactly what my Egypt was. Insecurity and fear. And it might be true for some of you today, as it was then for me. Or our Egypt perhaps can be, you know, a painful memory that we have that just dominates our thoughts sometimes in the night as well as the day. God says that he wants to bring us out of Egypt. That he wants to deliver us from that place of slavery into a promised land of love and grace and hope. For he's the God who reveals himself to us. And we need to let God be God. Let God be God. For you. And he's the God who wants the priority of our lives. Let's put him first. This next week, let's put him first. Let's make him our top priority. Let's place him where he belongs, on the throne. And he's the God, Crofton Baptist Church, he's the God who sets us free. Be free, indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that it is so relevant and contemporary for our lives today. Help us to hear it, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. Wing this message, Lord, from your word to our hearts today, and may it make a difference to the living of our lives. Lord, would you go on blessing Crofton Baptist Church? I thank you for this church. I thank you for my brother in ministry here, Adrian. But would you go on blessing them together? Pour down your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.